Okay, this is February, day 12, I think. And it is fly on the wall. Where would you be? What wall would you be on? Now, I had to think about this for about 5 minutes. And I decided that I actually wouldn't want to be on any wall because I'm not interested. I'm not that interested in what other people do behind closed doors. You know, whether it be someone famous or one of my friends, or I'm really not interested. It doesn't interest me. And I'm sure you can guess from that that I am not a Big Brother fan. I can't stand anything like that. I just don't see why anyone would... Why? I can't see the interest in it at all. So this is a pretty hard one for me. But I'm going to say, with his knowledge, I would like to be a fly on a wall when my husband's at work, because he comes home with such lovely stories sometimes. And I know, I'm sure he doesn't tell me half of them. He forgets most of them. And I keep telling him he could write a book. Now, he works for an agency who work for Southern Railways in the UK. He used to work for Southeastern. Now he's on Southern. He's got several roles. One of them is to be on the gate line, where you check tickets and help people find where they want to go, give assistance where necessary, and call the British Transport Police where necessary, or the Royal, no, not what they're called, Railway Royal, the Railway Enforcement Officers, the REOs. Another thing that he does is dispatching trains. That's not quite so interesting, but it's a safety critical job, which means, you know, it's a lot is hinging on him. He mustn't be a minute late for work or a minute late coming from back from a break, because it costs the train companies a lot of money if their trains are just 1 minute late. They must pay out a fortune, is all I can say. No wonder they keep putting the fares up. Anyway, he told me a story this morning. And I'm going to share it with you, because he is a very open person and he tends to give people the benefit of the doubt. He might give them a bit of a telling off if they don't have a ticket and say, well, you know, this, that and the other. But I'm going to tell you a story that happened, and he believes in giving people the benefit of the doubt. Now, I'm going to talk about black and white. It's not in a racist way. It's just how he relayed it to me. He's black, as most of you know. He's from Nigeria. I'm white. So a black man came to him at the gate. He said he was had dreadlocks, a hood, and he started the word, his sentence with basically. Now, he stereotyped him straight away. He said he ticked all the boxes for someone that's going to tell lies about their ticket. He said, for a start, he didn't mean to be racist because he's black himself, but it's more black people than white people that he catches out with their tickets, although there's white as well. And he always gives them a lecture that they're giving black people a bad name. So he ticked the box. He was black. He was wearing a hoodie. No one takes those people seriously. Dreadlocks. What do you think of with dreadlocks? Smoking weed. So he came up and started the sentence with basically, which usually means they're going to spin a yarn. Basically, I've lost my wallet. And I haven't got a ticket because I lost my wallet on the train. He said, oh, yes, okay. And he said, and I've lost my phone and everything. And he said, oh, I'm sure. He said to him, he thought to himself, I know this bloke hasn't got a ticket, but, well, he said he'd seen him go to every other gate line person. They'd all sent him away, like, with a flea in his ear, like saying, don't bother coming. We know you haven't got a ticket, blah, blah, blah. And they were, without meaning to bring race into it, they were all black people as well. So he took him. He said, come with me. He took him to the first gate line person. They went, he said, who's a Jamaican? He said, this bloke hasn't got a ticket. And they were all watching him. He knew they were all watching him, because if anyone's going to let someone in, it's going to be him. Although he doesn't do it without making them aware that what they're doing isn't right. But he will, at the end of the day, let them through. So all these other people were watching him. They'd all turned him away. So he took them to all of them and they said, have you seen a wallet and a phone anywhere? No, no, no. He asked one of the platform supervisors, no, no. So he took him onto the platform and found platform staff and said, this man's lost his phone and wallet, because he actually thought he hadn't. This man's lost his phone and wallet. Have you seen the phone? They said, what phone is it? He said, it's an H, the bloke said, it's an HTC and it's got a bit of paper stuck on the back. And they went, oh, yeah, we found that on the train, because some of the trains terminate there and they have to go through and pick out all the stuff that's been left behind. And apparently there's a huge load of stuff got sent to auction today. There's hundreds of phones, iPads, jumpers, scarves, hats, bikes. How can anyone forget their bike? It goes to auction. I don't know what they do with the money. People's passports, even. I don't know what they do with them because they can't auction those. So it's not been claimed. So they said, HTC with a bit of paper on. Oh, we found that. Yeah, and a wallet with it. So there you go. He had his ticket. He wasn't telling lies. Everyone thought that what he was doing was lying, and they judged him on his appearance. My husband did. He said, I'm 99% sure he hasn't got a ticket, but I want to give him the 1% doubt. And they found his phone, found his wallet, found his ticket, and he went on his way. I love stories like that. I can't even remember loads of them that he's told me, but there was one the other day when he saw a woman who works on one of the stations that he's worked at. He couldn't remember which one. A Ghanaian lady. And she had a young girl with her that turned out to be her daughter. And the woman, and they said, yeah, there's that man. The daughter had said, there's that man. So they came over and the mother said, I would like to congratulate you and commend you, because my daughter came through here a couple of months ago and she'd had her, when you checked her ticket, it was her brother's Oyster card, not hers. And you gave her a bit of a hard time over it and said, don't ever do this again. But you let her through. And she, it's taught her a lesson. She won't ever do that again. And I would like to say thank you very much for doing that. So, you know, it pays off sometimes. And, you know, there's lots of times when people have come up, like usually like teenagers, and they said they've lost their ticket, they've lost their Oyster card, whatever. And or sometimes they've even had the wrong Oyster card. They've said that I can't get my Oyster card to work. And then when he looks at it and he tries it out, it doesn't belong to them, it belongs to someone else. And all sorts of things like that. And, you know, there's times when people have come to him, teenagers, and said, I can't get home, I've lost my Oyster card. Now, they probably never had one or never had a ticket. So he'll, you know, give them a bit of a, you know, telling off, saying, you know, you've got to be more careful. And he says, look, you know, I don't think you had one. Please, it's illegal to travel like this. Next time you will get fined £20 on the spot. And often, and then he'll say, well, but oh, go on, off you go. And they say, oh, well, I can't get in touch with my parents because my phone's got no money on it. So he will actually ring their parents on his own phone. I mean, he's got free minutes. It's not like he has to pay for it. But, you know, he rings their parents, and or they might say their battery's dead or something like that, and they can't, not dead, but I don't know. They've got no credit on their phone. That's the usual thing, because they have pay-as-you-go phones. My phone's got no credit. I can't ring my mum, and the train's late, and they're going to be picking me up at the other end. So he'll ring the mum or the dad or whatever. And sometimes the mum and dad's come through another day and they say, thank you very much, because they remember. They say, thank you very much for ringing me the other day, and so that I could be there on time to pick my daughter up. At the end of the day, he always lets kids through, teenagers, because they got to get home. Whether they had a ticket, whether they lost their ticket or whether they never had one, he said he always lets them through because at the end of the day, they're kids, and he doesn't really want to be responsible for them being out when they shouldn't be, in case anything happens to them, just because he was being a Jobsworth. He said some people do say he's a Jobsworth because he says that when you get these white people coming through, men, in their suits, the other people on the gates don't bother checking them most of the time. They just let them through because they think they're going to have a ticket. And I'm not being funny, but these are black people that are on the gates. So they're, you know, there's all a big hoo-ha about the police being racist in this country, which I believe a lot of them are, not all of them. But I believe there is an element of racism in the police here. But there's also an element of racism in the railway, in the way these people treat their, not their own kind, but you know what I mean? But anyway, he says he always checks them and a load of them don't have tickets or their tickets are out of date. So they never get away. I bet some of them avoid him probably. They think, oh no, he's going to catch me out. Someone threw a punch at him once because he said, why do you check my ticket every time? And he said, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, then another day he saw him in a completely different station and the bloke came up and shook his hand and was really nice and really friendly. But I think he's really good at the job. He's not going to be doing it for much longer because he's going on to do a gas engineering course, gas and plumbing. I think he's going to really miss the railway because I think he's very, very good with people and I'd love to hear it all day long, you know. He got a card when he first started there. He got a card from a group of school children and he was working at our local station. And they made it from a piece of paper. They were like secondary school kids and there was a group of them. And they made him this card and they all presented it to him one morning. And it says to the man at the railway, and they drew pictures of him and they put bubbles coming out of his mouth, happy morning, because that's what he always says, happy morning, a beautiful day to you, happy evening, and you know, all the expressions that he says, but they weren't being rude. And they put all of them, there was about six of them, and they all wrote a little thing. They didn't put their names, because obviously they're being very sensible and careful, because that's what, you know, kids are taught to be nowadays, but they put from to the man, you brighten up every day. On the days we don't want to go to school, when we see your smiling face, it makes us feel happy. And all the really lovely things like that. I said, you've got to keep that because that's such a nice accolade. I think I am quite sad about him leaving the railway because I like to hear his stories. If I could think of more, I'd tell you, but I tend to hear them and then I forget them. Because, and I think he does the same, and I don't even hear most of them probably. But he does, I think he does go beyond his duty sometimes. He does. Like, there was a lady once and she was drunk. I might have talked about this on here before. And he was just signing off to go home one evening. And this woman come and he as he was walking away, he saw her over and over again putting her card on the reader thing and putting it on the reader, and she didn't know what she was doing, and it was saying, please top money. Oh yeah, that was it. He came back and he said, are you having problems? She went, she said she can't get a card to work. It's saying, please top up. She was drunk. Please top up. So he said to her, you've got to put money on it. Do you know what she did? Got a £5 note and put it on the card reader. So he said, no. You've got to top your card up. So he took her to the machine. He did it, you know, he showed her how to do it. And then he wasn't going her way, but he took her and got her on the train and asked, I think he was going her way, but he was getting off first and she was staying on there. So he got off she had to change trains at the same station as he did. So, but he was home and she had to go on somewhere else. So he got off and because he'd worked there before, he found a member of platform staff and he said, look, can you make sure she gets on the right train? And so she, you know, mate, can you make sure that someone meets her at the other end and helps her get a taxi? Because she was so drunk. Why people let, I mean, I've come home drunk before, but why people let themselves get into such a state that when you say, put some money on it, you put a £5 note, tap a £5 note on the card reader. I don't know how anyone gets himself in such a state. You know, so he's done a lot of stuff like that. Yeah, I would like to be a fly on the wall and hear all the stories, because he doesn't always tell me, because he forgets, or he's, you know, he's tired or whatever. But he told me about that one, because we were talking, the one about the man with the dreadlocks, because we were talking about giving people the benefit of the doubt. He said that I wouldn't give him the benefit of the doubt. And I said, look, I actually thought that he was telling lies as well. Because I said, if he'd just come along and said, I've lost my wallet, I would give him the benefit of the doubt. But I said, lose your phone and your wallet? I said, no, at that point, I would have lost believing in him, you know what I mean? And I would have been wrong. They were all wrong. All the other blokes, they were all men, all said, no, 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 go away, mate, go on, get lost. That we know you're making it up. That was their attitude. And I said, did you go back afterwards and tell the others that he was telling the truth? He said, no, what's the point? It's not going to change who they are. It's not going to change who... that's like saying, I told you so. But he's not really like that, do you know what I mean? You know, just because he was right, he didn't go boasting about it. He said, it's not going to change who they are. It's not going to make them think twice on another occasion. And if they're setting their mind against something, it probably isn't. Yeah, I'm just trying to think whether the, you know, what other stories he's told me before. There have been some really sad things. Oh, there was one time when, I can't remember, there was a man that was really drunk and he had quite a long time to wait for his train, but I can't remember what happened, but Obi went to help him get a ticket and they ended up dancing. And then he ended up dancing with all the women, not Obi, the old boy. He kind of makes people, I don't know, he's got a very gift of making people happy. He made this man was, I think he was in a bit of a mood when he first got there, and Obi helped, something happened to his ticket, and Obi went and helped him get a new one, and then, you know, he got him singing, and then he was dancing with everyone, you know, and everyone, all the station staff all came round, and, you know, ended up like a party. He was really drunk, the bloke. He probably wouldn't even remember it the next day, but they got him safely on the train and everything. He was an elderly man. And then recently, he said, there's an old man that comes through the station every day with a trolley, like a shopping trolley, and he can't see what's in it, but it's full. So one day he said, what have you got? He stopped him and he went, hello, mate. What have you got in there? And he went, oh, my wife's dead body. And he went, oh, okay. And then he opened it and he said, and I don't know where he's taking them to, but he opened it and it was full of children's soft toys. Maybe he's going to give them to charity, I don't know. I don't think he comes through every day, but whenever he comes through, he's got this big thing. I don't know what he does with them. He didn't say, but he said, hey, you can have one if you want. So he gave him this thing, like a furry thing. I don't really understand it. He said it's something you wave at a football match. So he gave it to him and he went, oh, thanks. So he decided he was going to give it to the next special child that came along. A dad came along with his son and he said, the little boy looked like was smiling, happy, but the dad looked really miserable, so he didn't speak to them. So then a lady came along with her little boy, and I can't remember why he thought they were special. But he said, look, I can't remember what the conversation was. And he said, look, someone gave me this and I don't really want it. So I said I was going to give it. I told the man I'm going to give it to the first really special child that comes along. So he gave it to the mum to give to the child. And she was so happy. She went, oh, you've made our day. Because I think what happened, they were having a bad day. Something had gone wrong. They'd missed their train. You know, it was one of those times when they were having a bad day. So he gave him this thing and he said, Mum said, you've made our day. They were so happy about it. And they went off waving this thing and, you know, so that made their day. Little things and all that. But if you're having a bad day, like something like that kind of does make you feel better. You know, if someone thought of you. I don't know, there's lots of little things And sometimes if he's not in a very happy mood, if something's gone wrong, sometimes if we've had a row or something like that, and he gets a bit miserable, not miserable, but, you know, he's not quite his usually exuberant self. He said some people come up and they say, "What's wrong today? You're not smiling." Even Claire and Paul once said to him, "What's the matter with you today? You don't seem very happy," or something like that, when they saw him at our local station around Christmas time. It was just tired. He was working a lot of long shifts that time. He did like 8 12-hour shifts in a row. And you're standing up all that time. It's a lot. So, yeah, people do notice when he's not got his happy face on. So if we ever have a row, and he said people have been asking me, I say, "Look, please don't take it to work with you. That's bad. All the good you do, don't take our row to work with you. I don't want you to make people miserable. You're meant to be making people happy when they're showing you their tickets and they don't really want to." So, I'm just trying to think. I'm sure there was something happened with some kids. Sometimes kids try to take advantage, you know what I mean? They make up a load of crap, but he sees through it. They'll come up and they'll say, "I need to get onto the platform because my brother's out there and he's got my phone." And they'll make up these elaborate stories, and they say, well, "I'll make an announcement and I'll get your brother to come here, and then he can give you your phone because you can't go through without a ticket." And it's quite obvious that they're actually making it up just so they can get through and then get on the train. But it usually catches him out. Once he did, there was a couple of them that were trying to do that, and he pretended to call the British Transport Police. He went, "Hello, BTP, is that the BTP?" He wasn't really doing it, but I've got three young men here. Well, they were probably about 15, 16, and he wasn't really doing it, but they thought he was. So they ran back out the station. They thought, "Oh, we're not going to hang around. We're not going to hang around and be interrogated by the police," because of course they had no brother on the platform with their phone. They were just saying it so they could be let through. And another thing people do, because the toilets in some of the stations are on the platforms, in our local station they are, they'll say, "Can I go to the toilet?" And then they never come back. But, you know, they've got every trick in the book. Some people just jump the barriers. They just run up to it, boom, and they're over the top and gone. Anyway, I think I've gone on enough, and I'll speak to you all soon. Low power mode. Low power mode. Shut up, low power mode. Audio boom. Pause recording. Button. 37 minutes. Pause recording.